I've got it.
Didn't think I was gonna make it.
There's a lot of people trying to get home early today.
I guess that's what you have to expect on Christmas Eve.
Ground floor?
Yes, please.
Ground floor?
Yes, please. Thank you. We're never gonna get home at this pace. I wish there's a way we could just skip all these sports.
Wonder why the doors don't open and the music stopped.
Try pushing that button.
Doesn't work.
Mama, the lights are working.
Yes, it is.
Not that light.
Which light?
See up there over the door?
She's right. It isn't working.
Maybe the power went off.
Yeah, like he said, the music stopped.
If the power went off, then why are the lights still working?
Maybe they're on a different circuit.
A different circuit? How would you know?
It's possible.
I was talking to the package boy.
Oh, sorry. You try being nice to some people and they treat you like dirt.
Try pushing that button.
This one?
Yeah.
Nothing.
What do you know? What good is an emergency button if it doesn't even work?
Try the white button.
Still nothing.
This is just great.
What do you think happened?
I don't know.
Well, whatever it is, I need to get home.
You need to get home. I need to get home. I have over 20 people due at my house in an hour, and I do not have time for this.
Well, maybe if we just wait a few minutes, it'll start back again. You know how computers are. They're slow.
Wait!
There doesn't seem to be anything else to do but wait.
Maybe it'll start back down again pretty soon.
Isn't that what she just got done saying? Hey, let's push. Try pushing the button again.
Still nothing.
Unbelievable!
What's the matter? Won't the elevator work?
Gracious, Grandma! Where have you been in these last few minutes?
What'd you say?
Oh, what's the matter, Granny? You need some wax out of your ears?
Do you have to speak to your grandmother like that?
She's not my grandmother.
Oh, I thought you just...
It's because I didn't know the old lady's name.
You think anybody out there knows it's stuck?
Maybe. Somebody's probably waiting to get on right now.
No, I'm not so sure about that. There weren't too many people left in the building.
I'm sure there's some other people in the building. I hope.
Nobody in this elevator suffers from claustrophobia, do they? I spent the weekend with three of my girlfriends, and one of them was terribly claustrophobic. Talk about hysteria! We stayed in a cabin in the mountains, and a blizzard came and snowed us in. We were stuck in that little cabin for 3 whole days. Marlene, she's the one who's claustrophobic, had a time trying to stay calm. For a while, she couldn't even catch her breath.
What's the matter with you, lady? Do you ever shut up?
I'm sorry. I guess I do talk a lot. But you could just ask nicely. You don't have to be so nasty about it.
You do not have to tell us your whole life history either. We need to be figuring out how to get out of this elevator. Hey, why don't you try one of those side panels and see if you could do something with that?
Do I look like an elevator mechanic to you?
How
would I know what to do?
Well, how would you know if you don't look?
Anybody got a screwdriver?
Sure, I carry one all the time. I stuck it in my ear this morning when I got in the shower.
I've got a fingernail file, if that'll help.
I am not an elevator mechanic, and I certainly don't have to take this. I own my own business. I'm my own boss. Anybody know anything about electricity? It's nothing but a bunch of wires.
And of all the times I've rode on this elevator, it has to break down today, out of all days, at 5:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
There's got to be something we can do.
Anybody got any ideas?
I saw on a TV show one time where two people are stuck in an elevator and they jump up in the tunnel together to move.
Look at a kid come up with something like that. You watch way too much TV. What if this elevator crashes down and the cables break? We can get hurt.
No one else has come up with a better idea.
It can't be too far down. We're only stuck between the first and second floors.
Why don't we try it and see what happens?
How would you know it would even work?
I don't, but it's worth a try. It's better than just standing here twiddling our thumbs.
Well, might as well try. Maybe it won't kill us.
Okay, everybody grab hold on the handrails and be prepared to drop. Ready? Go.
I knew it wouldn't work.
Why do you have to be such a pessimist? Everything you said since you got on this elevator has been negative. Don't you have anything good to say?
At the moment, I can't think of a thing.
You can't think of something. You're not suicidal, are you? You know, more people kill themselves at this time of year, more so than any other. I read in the paper just the other day that suicide rates are up 200% in the past 5 years. I guess it's because...
Thank you for the suicide report. I am not suicidal. I have a lot to do when I get home, and I do not have time to be stuck on this elevator with all of you strangers.
Things could be worse.
Just tell me how. I have to be home in like an hour, and I have this huge, big Christmas party that is it's going to be at my house, and all of those people are waiting on me.
Well, it doesn't seem like the building's on fire. That's something to be thankful for.
Oh, great. I'll just write that down in my little red book of memorable dates. At 5:40, the building is not on fire. I should have taken the stairs.
Mama, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Well, you're just gonna have to hold it.
I gotta go now.
Can you hold on just a little bit longer, sweetheart?
Figure she would have to go now.
What do you expect? She's only a child.
Well, she should have used the bathroom before she came on the elevator.
Well, she probably thought we'd be home by now. Who knew we'd all get stuck on an elevator? Give her a break.
You know, you're not the only one to be in a hurry. I have a wife and kid at home waiting for me so we can spend Christmas together. I know it's not like your situation, but I would like to get home pretty early.
It's so sweet to see a young man want to spend Christmas with his family. There aren't too many people who try to take the time to do that anymore.
Who has the time with all the shopping and parties?
You have to make the time. I had to be in 3 different places tonight, but I told everyone that this is Christmas, and I was going to spend it with my husband and my 2 little girls here.
You're a cute little girl. I bet you can't wait till Santa comes. How old are you?
Can you tell the nice lady how old you are?
8
years old. I've got a granddaughter about your age. You're just as shy as she is around people.
I can't take it anymore. Hey, help! Is anybody out there? We should have yelled a long time ago. I mean, it's 5:45. People have probably already left. This is just ridiculous.
Well, there's not much anybody can do about it until somebody comes looking for us. I told my wife I'd be home as soon as possible, but...
Do you think I care? I need to get home.
Ma'am, I know you don't like being stuck on an elevator, but neither does anybody else. And we'd all be a lot better off if we could at least try to be nice to each other. Look, if we put our heads together, maybe we can figure a way to get out of here.
Has someone tried looking up through one of the panels? Maybe there's a way out through there.
Now that's an idea. I'll need something to stand on.
Well, don't look at me. I forgot to put the step stool in my purse this morning.
I have an umbrella. Maybe you could lift up a panel and see if it's worth crawling through.
Good idea. No, that won't work. There are too many cables and wires.
Well, hey, maybe you can try to squeeze on through there.
Not in that tiny space.
Oh, I know. How about the kid?
No, she's not going anywhere.
This is too dangerous anyway. There's no telling what could happen with all those wires.
It was worth a try.
Ow!
I'm sorry. Did I hurt your foot?
No, it's fine. It didn't really hurt that much. But you might want to keep your packages on the ground. It looks like we're going to be in here for a while.
I see I'm not the only one doing last-minute Christmas shopping.
Didn't get much of a chance to go shopping earlier.
I know what you mean.
I was so busy fixing up the parade float. Then came cleanup. At my office, I was put in charge of the Christmas decoration committee. That wasn't enough. I had to put up the Christmas tree all by myself. My wife wouldn't help me.
I guess you're in a rush like the rest of us.
Yeah, when I get home, the first thing I'm going to do, I'll put up the plywood Santa Claus and reindeer. My wife's going to be there with the presents, be like, honey, wrap these for me. She always waits till last minute. Like I said, rush, rush, rush.
All my husband thinks about this time of year is football. Give him a TV and a couch, and he's no good until after the Super Bowl.
All men are the same.
Well, wait a minute now. Not all men are like that.
Well, what are you going to do on Christmas?
I don't know. I'll take pictures of the kids opening their gifts, and then I'll probably carve the turkey.
And after that?
I don't know. We'll eat, and if nothing else is going on, I'll watch a little bit of TV.
I hear there's a bowl game at 1 right after dinner.
Proves my point.
Yeah, well, I don't lie around the house all day looking at football.
Yeah, you get up at halftime to microwave a bag of popcorn and raid the refrigerator.
Though this isn't fair. I'm outnumbered here.
Don't feel bad. You're no worse than any other American husband.
That's why we love them so much.
Yeah, well, I bet you ladies aren't any worse than any other American housewife either. The housewife's famous creed, shop till you drop.
That's us.
You think the stores have anything left after we get through with them?
If you're anything like me, you had to buy 800 presents for everyone you know.
That's what it seems like. If you don't get everyone a little something, they'll feel like you don't think about them.
And the people you forget won't let you hear the end of it.
Especially mothers.
Isn't that the truth? I forgot to get Mama and Daddy something for their anniversary, and I was reminded of it every day for at least 6 weeks.
Hey, ma'am, are you all right? You don't look so good.
She's as white as a sheet.
I'll be all right. I just need a bit of fresh air.
I'll fan you. You look hot.
Thank you, young lady. There aren't too many people that are helping old lady these days.
Well, we don't want you getting sick on us, especially right here at Christmas.
It won't be the first time. I can't say whether it'll be the last or not either. But who knows? The Lord may come before the next Christmas.
Oh, wonderful! I am stuck on the elevator with a Christian fanatic.
Ma'am, please.
It's all right. I hear it all the time. But I know my Lord looks after me. Christmas should be a special time of year.
Yeah.
Well, what's different for Christmas than any other time of the year, besides all the crowds and all the hassle?
There's a big difference.
Really?
Yeah, really.
All it is just a mindless celebration that we all have to endure because somebody wants to make a buck.
That's exactly my point. Christmas has gotten so busy, people don't take the time to think about what it's really all about.
Sometimes we do tend to be in a rush, but I don't think we've really forgotten. We just haven't made time.
No, we haven't forgotten. What is Christmas all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. It's about standing on the mall of the long lines. It's about buying all the gifts for every person you can think of and know of, and then just being drafted into another Christmas committee as if you don't have enough to do.
Well, that's what we do at Christmas, and that's what happens to us. But I think it's sort of like what this gentleman said over here. In the back of our minds, we know the real reason for celebrating Christmas. We just don't make the time for it. We don't appreciate the reason why we celebrate.
Oh, you mean it's just about celebrating some religious man that was born 2,000 years ago during this time?
That's exactly what I mean.
That's just a long forgotten ritual of the past.
And that's the sad part about Christmas. Many people make celebrating Christ's birth just a thing of the past. When that happens, Christmas becomes just another holiday. When I think of Christmas, I like to remember the sacrifice that he made for us years later. God gave his only son to die for me. And I'm guilty of this very thing. I end up spending less time remembering than I should.
Yeah, we all do.
Why should we keep making the same mistakes over and over again? We should commit ourselves, really commit ourselves, to remembering why Christmas is really Christmas. Otherwise, we might as well stop calling it Christmas.
Maybe if we were to slow down a little, we might enjoy Christmas more. Forgive me for this old cliche, but stop and smell the roses. In all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, I think it's good to remember the peacefulness, the...
Even more than that, who is this child who was born in a manger? Born in such conditions that any of us in this elevator would be ashamed to be in? Who is this child we're talking about? We're talking about the one who came to save the world. And lady, it doesn't matter how you celebrate your Christmas. I know how I'm gonna celebrate mine.
Yeah,
me too.
You know, this makes me feel a lot better than I did when I first got on this elevator. It almost makes me want to sing.
Then why don't you, young man? I'd like to hear a good Christmas song.
Ma'am, I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket.
You're no worse than the rest of us.
No, I couldn't, really.
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, why not? Maybe it'll help pass the time away.
Well, how about you sing Jingle Bells?
I know. What about, what child is this?
That's good. I like that.
Okay, yeah.
What child is this who lay to rest?
On Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sing, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ.
Is everybody all right in there?
There's somebody out there.
Everyone, quiet.
Is everybody all right? We're going to get you out in just a few minutes now. Just hang on.
Now maybe you'll make it home in time for your party.
You know, I don't even care about my party anymore. I'm actually so grateful I got stuck on this elevator with all you people. I am so grateful. You guys have got me. I have to do a lot of thinking.
You know, I almost hate to leave. We may never see each other again.
We may never see each other again, but we will never forget. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Come on, let's give them another big hand for that. Yeah, didn't they do a good job? Wow, amen. Got some good talent here at Faith, amen. I cannot imagine getting stuck on an elevator. You know, these people were packed in like sardines. But you know, even though that space that they were in was tight, they still had a lot of room in that small space to introduce a lot of stuff like pessimism. There's some pessimism represented in that elevator. Heard some lines from some of the characters saying it's just another opportunity for someone to make a buck. Christmas, we can become really pessimistic about if we're not careful. Also in that elevator, there was some busyness. One of the characters said, rush, rush, rush. There's always something to do at Christmas, and it feels like between Thanksgiving and Christmas especially, the requirements and the activities ramp up so much more than any other time of the year. In that elevator, there was some exhaustion that was definitely represented. You heard people in there shopping, they're decorating, there's some cooking, some committees to be part of. A lot of exhaustion comes from all of that. In that elevator, there was some frustration. One of the characters turned to the old lady and said, "What's the matter with you, lady?" And all of the frustration that happens at Christmas because our emotions just get kind of frayed. And that really results in some meanness. There was some meanness going on in that elevator too. Do you think I care was one of the phrases that was spoken. And we tend to kind of be that way more so at Christmas, it feels like. And finally, I think was represented in that elevator, there was some impatience. One of the lines from the old lady, this is, people are getting edgy. They're just right there, ready to just snap. You see that at the malls where the lines are long and people fight over parking spaces and all that. You know, every Christmas season seems a lot like what we just witnessed. That was a microcosm of all of us packed tightly into a small space called the holiday season. And we kind of feel maybe trapped into the social norms that the season forces upon us. Headed in, all of us, in the same direction, just trying to get through another hectic holiday season with all the bad attitudes and all of the inconveniences and all of the exhausting activities that come along with it. You know, we can so easily make room for all of this bad stuff and this busy stuff that we saw in our skit today. But then we're reminded it doesn't have to be just another mindless celebration. We were reminded that it doesn't have to be a long forgotten ritual of the past. It doesn't have to be a blur of exhaustion and hectic days that produce bad attitudes in us that we just force ourselves to muddle through and to endure. So why do we celebrate Christmas? Is Christmas what the world has made it to be? Really what we've allowed it to become? Or is it something else? You know, the city of Portland, Oregon, I just read this week, has gone to great lengths, for example, to omit the word Christmas from their yearly tree lighting ceremony. It's simply called the tree lighting ceremony. They've made no room for Jesus. In their attempt to not offend anyone by using the word Christ and to be the popular word inclusive, they've excluded the very person and the very reason that Christmas is Christmas. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And he was born on Christmas Day so that he could die at Easter time to save the world from their sins. This example in Portland, Oregon is just one of many that we see going on at Christmas. We see as we're driving down the street yard decorations that are plenteous, lights everywhere, Snoopy, the Grinch, Santa Claus, Rudolph. But you see very few manger scenes, which, by the way, is the only decoration worth displaying. Satan is doing all that he can to remove Christ from Christmas, but church, let's not let him succeed. Rather than give in to the culture's attempt to redefine Christmas, let's be a voice of truth. Let's live our lives in such a way that we represent clearly and authentically what Christmas is all about. Church, let's make room for Jesus this Christmas. This is not going to be a long message today, understanding that that skit took a good little bit of our time here, but it's really part of the message this morning. So I'm going to dovetail what they shared and what they so wonderfully acted out. And I want to read to you out of a scripture, but as far as conforming to the world, the Bible says it this way in Romans 12:2. And we can apply this to what I've just been speaking about as far as Christmas is concerned. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Let's just stop right there and say that we need to be careful at Christmas time not to conform to what the world says. In other words, let's not follow their lead in what Christmas is all about. But let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, as it applies to our time here at Christmas as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Jesus' birthday. This is what we're celebrating. Let's not forget, this is Jesus' birthday. Let's not let the world drag us into what they want to celebrate. There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus and Rudolph and all the rest. Fun stuff. But church, let's be careful not to let that overwhelm and smother out the real reason for the season, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, you may think that your small effort and example doesn't amount to much. You think, Pastor, what can I do? I'm just me. I'm just one person. But don't you dare underestimate a life that's well lived, not just at Christmas time, but all year long. Don't underestimate the singular voice speaking into the darkness and into the lies and into the celebration that's so skewed with the light and the truth of Jesus this Christmas. God can take your life example, yield it to Him, and make it more impactful than you'll ever know. Just be faithful. Just stay true. Just honor the Lord, and He'll multiply your efforts for Him. Not just at Christmas time, but all year long. So for the next three Sundays, I want to read to you what we know of as the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the first several verses of this scripture, and we're going to spend some time on it today as well as the next couple of Sundays. But if you will, turn with me. And with these skits, by the way, that we're going to be doing each week, it's going to emphasize some different things about this scripture. Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to start, verse 1. If you're there and you're ready to go, read along with me, say amen. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The census was based on your lineage, and Joseph was a relative, an ancestor of King David. And so David, being from Bethlehem, not just Joseph and Mary, but I want you to picture this little town, I mean this little town with thousands of people from generations that had just expanded out. Thousands of people were coming into Bethlehem. They were overwhelmed. This sleepy little village just outside of the outskirts of Jerusalem called Bethlehem, that usually doesn't experience hardly much activity, was during this census time packed, crawling with, you couldn't cut it with a knife, so thick of people. And here they are in the midst of all this, Mary and Joseph coming along, her being great with child. Now, in this story, this particular character that we're going to be talking about for a few moments was never mentioned by name, but he was key to all that went on as to where Mary gave birth. He was the Bethlehem innkeeper. Now, this Bethlehem innkeeper has gotten a bad rap over the years. Some say that he was indifferent. I would say that sounds possible. Others label him as greedy. He certainly took advantage of the opportunity to make some extra money during the census. Some think of him as just flat out mean, looking at this pregnant lady who was obviously getting ready to give birth, just moments, days away. And putting them in an animal stall. I mean, what kind of person would do that? But I think, you know, maybe you may be right on some of those estimations, but I'll say this. The way that I look at it, at least from my vantage point, is I think that the innkeeper just didn't take the time in that stressful moment where things were so much in demand. He didn't take the time to consider who he was dealing with, who he was encountering. There was Mary, there was Joseph, and she was great with child. They were just two people in this mass of customers that he had. In the hustle and in the bustle of the census season, the innkeeper missed Jesus. He was overwhelmed. He was exhausted with people needing lodging. I mean, if you've ever worked in a position like that, you got to make sure they're fed. You got to deal with all of the complaints, all the logistics of running a business at a massively busy time. Not unlike things that are going on today. So he did the best that he could, and he gave Joseph and Mary access to the animal stall. Take it or leave it. Next. Move on. Get out of my way. There's customers waiting. See, church, our Christmases aren't much different today. It's an overwhelming season of crowds and activities and weariness. The days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they come and they go at a blur, and before we know it, we've collapsed in an exhausted heap of weariness after the holidays. Partly glad that it's over, and partly wondering what in the world just happened. Jesus just becomes a part of the celebration, like we heard in our skit today, not the main focus. We do like the innkeeper, and we give him, as an afterthought, we give him this spot in an animal stall, so to speak. There you go, Jesus, take it or leave it. And as the innkeeper counted his receipts and cleaned up after his guests without giving another thought to the baby born in the manger. We, in our generation, take an inventory of the gifts that we've received. Look at all that I got. What'd you get for Christmas? And then we also clean up the aftermath of the company and all the activities that are surrounded by this big day called Christmas without giving much thought to the significance of this baby born to save the world. And many of us will do the same as the innkeeper this Christmas. We will miss Jesus. We will miss his arrival again. We will miss honoring him again. We will miss acknowledging him again. We will miss wishing him a happy birthday again. We will miss thanking him for being born so he could die and take our sins away again. We will have missed Christmas. So this is a simple message today, with a singular thought that I want to leave with you and for you to consider, and it's this: make room for Jesus this Christmas. Don't conform to this world's definition of Christmas like many of those on the elevator did. The chaos, the exhaustion, the materialism. If you'll just minimize those things, don't give him much oxygen. Don't let him breathe that well. Choke him out if you can as much as possible. Minimize them. Instead, church, maximize and embrace what Christmas is truly all about. Make Christmas, make it spiritually meaningful in your household. Invite his peace into your heart. Give place for his joy to fill you. Don't walk away saying, if he's the Prince of Peace, how come I didn't experience it? If it's joy of the world, what happened with me? Make room for Jesus. I'm going to leave you with this story, and then I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to have a time of prayer. There was this eighth grade boy named Jimmy who he had some learning disabilities. And he wanted to be in the Christmas play desperately. So the teacher knew that he wouldn't be able to memorize a whole lot of the lines and stuff. But she really wanted him to be in the Christmas play as well. So she gave him a role. And so she gave him the role of the Bethlehem innkeeper. He had only two lines in the entire play. And they were actually two words that he just had to repeat twice. When Joseph and Mary came in asking for lodging, he was supposed to say, "No room." And then after Mary begged for special consideration, he would have to say again, simply, "No room." So eventually, the day of the performance came. Lots of family, friends were in the audience. It was packed out. The play continued on, and it got to the point where Mary and Joseph approached the inn and knocked on the door. And Jimmy, as the innkeeper, he opened the door, and he said flawlessly the first line. He said, "No room." And then Mary responded by saying, "But I'm very tired, and I'm going to have a baby real soon, and if I don't find a safe place for my baby to be born, I'm going to cry." And Jimmy paused for a moment and said, "Well, I know what I'm supposed to say. But you can have my room." You know, the pressure around us every holiday season and all our activities is to say, "No room. No room. No room for Jesus in our planning. No room for Jesus in our efforts. No room for Jesus in our hearts." But maybe we can be a little bit more like Jimmy this holiday season and say, "Not only Jesus is the room, but you can have the best room in my life. You can have my heart." Yeah. And by the way, that skit, they were experiencing and coming to this realization on Christmas Eve, which is good. But it's December the 7th. Let's not wait until Christmas Eve to come to this realization. Can we just right now say, "Okay, wait a minute. I see the storm a-brewing. It's coming my way. All the activities and the demands of Christmas are just right there. I mean, it's on the calendar. I just know it. I'm starting to get, you know, my heart's starting to beat fast. It's starting to stress me out." Stop. It's okay. It's okay. Let's not wait until Christmas Eve to say, "Jesus, won't you come and make a place in my heart? I give you room in my heart. Oh, I give you the best room. I need you, Prince of Peace. I need you, Prince of Peace, to come and bring peace to my heart. I need that joy that's to the world to come into my world. And I want to enjoy the reason for the season, and that's to celebrate your birth. I just hope that you'll determine that you'll make room for Jesus. Make room for him at your table. You're going to lay out a big spread. It's a birthday party. Maybe make a little cake for him. I don't know. Put on some party hats. Happy birthday, Jesus. Just thoughts. Not sure we'll do that, but you know, just thoughts. Anything like that. Make room at your table. Make room for him under your tree. I mean, 50 gifts for all the people. It's his birthday. I don't know. Make room for him in your celebration. Just make room for Jesus in your hearts. Don't forget who you're celebrating. You know, Jimmy grasped what the original innkeeper missed, and what many in our generation are missing today. How about you? How about you? Won't you make room for Jesus this Christmas? Simple thought. I'll just slide it on over to you, and I'll ask you, if you will, to pick it up and stand up with me as we close out in prayer this morning. Would you stand? Just bow your heads this morning. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Lord Jesus. Sweet, sweet baby Jesus boy. Come to save the earth. Come to be born so that you could grow up and live a perfect life and die for our sins. Lord Jesus, help us to slow down. Help us to slow down. Help us to take a big, deep breath right now. And the next minute. And the next hour. And the next day. And all the days leading up to Christmas. May we experience the peace, O Prince of Peace, that this season can bring if we will allow it. Lord, please guard our hearts against being pessimistic. We don't want to be jaded. We don't want to look at Christmas as the commercial thing that it has become. Guard our hearts against that. Guard our schedules from busyness. Lord, help us to make sure that we always give you the best of our time and between now and Christmas Day, and really beyond, but especially between now and Christmas Day. Guard our schedules from busyness. Help us to say no to the unimportant stuff and yes to the important stuff, to minimize the stuff that the world tries to cram down our throat and to maximize you. Lord, guard our bodies from exhaustion. It'll help us, Lord God, to not be so busy that we wear ourselves out trying to make the quote-unquote perfect Christmas. There's no such thing. The most perfect Christmas happened some 2,000 years ago when you were born in that backside hollow of a manger. Lord, guard our minds against frustration. It's so easy to just let our emotions and our minds and our thoughts get the best of us. Guard our minds from that. Guard our attitudes from meanness. There's going to be a lot of people out there already starting to be mean, grabbing that last thing that's on sale, finding that last parking space at the mall, and just being impatient. Guard our lives from being impatient. God, help us to not get sucked up and swallowed up in this big machine like they were all stuck on that elevator just a moment ago. Lord, we feel like we're stuck on an elevator. And many of us are kind of claustrophobic in the sense of, I just can't breathe. It's too much. It's too heavy. God, help us. Free us. Remove the burden, the heaviness from us. Help us to not conform to the world. But Holy Spirit, help us. Please help us renew our minds today so that we can leave this place determined to honor you and to make room for you, Jesus, this Christmas season and all year long. We ask you for forgiveness, Jesus, for making Christmas what it isn't. And we ask you, Jesus, to help us to celebrate what it is. Help us to make room for you, Jesus, at our tables, in our celebration, in our hearts. Help us to say no to those unimportant things and to make room to say yes to the important things. And that is your birth, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being born so that you could die for our sins. Jesus, we promise to make room for you this Christmas, starting right now. Jesus, help us right now. Won't you please help us right now to give you the best seat in the house, the best room in our hearts. Help us, Jesus, to make room for you this Christmas. We love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Join us next week as we continue to learn from God's Word and apply it to our lives.